Good morning. How are you? How are you handling it? That's my question for you this morning. How are you dealing with this situation that we find ourselves in? I hope someone has asked you that in the last day or so. How are you handling it? Or you've been able to ask that of someone else or some others in your life. I've been fortunate enough to have several people reach out to me and ask me how I'm handling it. And I've gotten to ask that question of others as well. It's kind of like my main job right now. It's important for us, my friends, to ask each other, how are you doing? It's important for us to reach out to others appropriately while having that physical distancing in place. Naming it to taming it, as Kristen Terry said to me earlier this week. Naming what's on our heart so that we can tame it is a part of the solution of getting through this time. And by the way, I just want to say here this morning that if something is on your heart, if you're feeling isolated and lonely, or just something heavy, don't hesitate to text Genesis at that number, or also just on the Facebook comment section there on the live feed, feel free. Again, Pastor Scott is kind of manning that here this morning, and we'll be posting some resources throughout the morning there. Throughout our time here to help you and help your faith. Here's some of the things, though, that I've heard as I've been asking, how are you handling it? I've heard things like, I have a tendency towards anxiety, and this is taking it to a new level. Maybe you feel that way. And it's obvious that there are many people who are very afraid right now. I've also heard things like, I'm working harder than ever before. Some people aren't, but some people are working hard and because they have a business and they're trying to keep their employees going. They're trying to make ends meet in this time. Some are feeling just restricted right now, like their liberties have been taken away and this is difficult for them. And so we're all experiencing loss right now. We're all together in this, in one sense. Everybody has lost something, and there's a lot of sadness. I've talked with many people who had to cancel spring break trips, and I know that that's a first world problem, and yet it's a very real thing that many have lost. And one of our grandmas here was going to Florida to see her grandkids for the first time in many, many months. And that trip got canceled and it broke her heart. And she's not sure when it'll get rescheduled. And then there's the family that was going to go out west. Their kids are right before high school, right? There's a little bit of time to be able to do that. And now that once-in-a-lifetime trip is put on hold. The small business leaders, I've talked with many of them in our church, more than a dozen this week, and they're heavy about future prospects. They've had to employ survival measures right now. And one group that I think of quite often are the young people in our community and in our world. They're really hurting. They've really experienced some significant things. You know, hanging with friends, interacting. Some have lost their baseball track seasons, perhaps, and graduation. There's single people in our community, in our church, in our community, people that have lost spouses who are very lonely, and single people that have no one to be with, and vulnerable people who are kind of have to stay home, you know. And we've all lost something in this time, and we're all handling it different ways. Extroverts tend to process verbally, and I'm learning to shut my mouth more. And introverts carry it all inside to some extent. But we all need God to help us handle it. We all need Him. And I want to share this with you. God wants to help us. He wants to help us handle it. He wants to help you. He wants to help your family. He wants to help your marriage. He wants to help you to have peace. So how do we get there? How do we get there? How do we get to the place where God can help us? And we're not on our own. We're not doing it under our own strength. How can we get there? How can we get to that peace? How can we get to that place of stability? We need to go deep with God. That's what I want to talk to you about today. We need to go deep with Him. Shallowness is just not going to cut it. We got to go deep. We all have to deal with so much. We all have to deal with our families and with the burdens that are outside of our families. And you know, as a church, we need to respond. And, you know, we are responding, but we need to respond. But we can't start with that. We can't start with doing. We have to start with something else. Thank you, Jeff, for reading that passage from the 46th Psalm. And we're just going to look at one verse, verse 10. And it lays out a roadmap. It lays out a roadmap of how we can get connected to God, how we can invite God to help us handle it. And here's the verse, it's up on the screen. Be still and know that I am God. I want to ask you at home to read that with me. Be still and know that I am God. Let's do it again. Be still and know that I am God. One more time. Be still and know that I am God. Scholars believe that this passage was written in the day of King Hezekiah. King Hezekiah, he was one of the kings of Judah, one of the kings in ancient Israel. And if you happen to listen into last week's talk, we talked about the prophet Isaiah. And the prophet Isaiah and King Hezekiah were contemporaries. They lived at the same time. And there was this occasion that scholars believe when this was written, when the mighty Assyrian army surrounded Jerusalem. 185,000 troops surrounded the royal city of Jerusalem. Sennacherib was the king of the Assyrians. And actually, I'll have a picture put up for you to see. It's one of Sennacherib's prisms. These were actually annals. There's four or five of them from ancient times. This is the one about Judah and about Palestine. And so the thing I'm going to share with you is attested outside of the Bible by other history. And in this annal, he shared in great detail his military campaigns. And one of the things that it says in this prism is that he shut Hezekiah up like a bird in his royal city, like a bird in the cage of his royal city. And we feel like that. We feel like we're shut up in a cage, like Hezekiah. So you can just imagine how King Hezekiah must have felt. This was 700 BC. And interesting, in this prism, these annals, Sennacherib claimed the siege, you know, siege, which was basically surround a city, nothing in, nothing out. Many times plagues would happen in the city because they couldn't get out for fresh air, those kinds of things. There would be famine because they couldn't bring food in. It was just a terrible thing to be laid siege to. And so in this prism, Sennacherib claimed siege and capture of many of the cities of Judah. 45 in all he had already captured, but only speaks of Jerusalem, of the siege, but not a capture. And we'll get to that a little bit later. But this is Hezekiah. This is what he says. We'll put this up there for you to see. He says, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way. You see, for Hezekiah, the earth was giving way. I mean, this was real. This was death. And Hezekiah gives two commands here that we're going to look at for just a few moments. Two instructions for us today that we can kind of grab and bring into our lives. Two commands of how we can go deep with God. And so the first one is this: be still. That's the first one. Just plainly, be still. Say it with me. Be still. Be still. What does that mean? What does it mean to be still? Well, it means to refrain from doing something. It means to stop striving. It means to, you know, sit down and wait instead of get going and produce. Oh, it's really hard to do, isn't it? It's hard to pause. It's hard to pause for God when there's pressure. It's hard to pause to hear God when you've got so many things that you're thinking about and that need to be acted upon. In the pre-coronavirus days, I'm going to read a quote from those days. This is by a guy named Peter Scazzaro. He says this, that we're addicted to activity as a society, as a culture. We're addicted to activity and doing. We can't seem to get off adrenaline to slow down. We fear how many things might fall apart, so we just keep on going. And because of that, we can live our lives with lots of pressure and control issues. That was pre-coronavirus days. And now we sense the truth that we can't control things. We can't control what's happening. We can't just go back to work. And in all this, this command is be still. Be still. We've got to create a category for that in our lives. We've got to create a box for that to happen. We've got to create boundaries. We've got to create space to rest in God. You know, we do have to think about the future. We do have to forecast. There's a place for that. I'm not saying that we just don't do anything. No, we need to read, we need to understand, and we need to act prudently and wisely. But that needs to be in a box as well. And there are times when we need to put that in the box and set it aside so that we can bring the box out of be still. There are times when we need to stop thinking, my friends, and stop analyzing. And stop being, and start being. Be still means to be quiet so that you can hear God. It's like taking some time to stop analyzing, stop working, stop thinking, so that you can be quiet. And while you're doing that, it's like this. It's like, I trust God while I'm away from that. I'm giving that to God while I'm over here on my knees or while I'm in a walk to be quiet. I'm trusting God with that. I'm not bringing my phone with me. I'm setting it aside. I'm trusting Him with it while I'm away. This is actually the Sabbath principle. The Sabbath principle is basically purposely be unproductive one day a week. Purposefully do not do any work on one day. and trust God. One other thing that it means to be still, it means to surrender. Everybody at home, put your hands like this. Open your hands. We talk about this a lot. Johnny will talk about it a little later. Open your hand. It's like you're opening your hand. You're not holding on to it. You're not holding on to things. You're surrendering. You're opening up your hand. It's so important. We're accepting that things are out of our control. When we are being still, we're saying, God, I open my hands. We need to, if you're someone that this is foreign to you, these ideas that I'm sharing, you know, and that's fine. I'm so glad you're listening in, and please keep listening in, and we'll help you in any way we can. But, you know, if this is your first time, like, coming to God, I just urge you to turn to Him fully. And I'm not talking about in a superficial way. And for those of you that have trusted God, but it's not been, you haven't pushed all your, you know, things to the middle of the table, let's just say. You're still holding out, still holding on. And that's superficial. You haven't given. And so for those of you, I encourage you to give the whole way, to give it all, to surrender it all. For the first time, go all in with God, all or nothing. Put your entire life in Him. Trust Him for forgiveness. Trust Him for leadership. In one of the books in the New Testament called the Gospel of John, Jesus says this. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He says, no one comes to God. No one comes to the Father, God the Father, except through me. And why could Jesus say that? Because Jesus came into this world. He set aside His position in heaven, came into this world to deal with our brokenness, to deal with our sinfulness. And we can trust Him. It's God's way to trust Jesus. Another quote from John, I just want to mention. Jesus said this at the end of His ministry, before, you know, the end of the book of John. He said, I have told you these things. In other words, I've given you these instructions. I've showed you how to live. I've given you these things so that in me you might have peace. In this world you will have trouble. But take heart, Jesus said. Take heart, for I have overcome the world. And that's what it means to be still in Him. It means to trust Him. It means to find forgiveness. It means to find rest. It doesn't mean that you don't have to think and don't have to plan, but there's a place, there's a category for it. Trusting means surrendering. And the way that you do, ABCs, let me give them to you. Admit you need, admit you're broken, admit you're sinful. That's A. B, believe. Believe that Jesus made a way. Believe that Jesus made peace. Believe that Jesus is there. And then C, commit. ABC, admit, believe, and commit. Let us know if you trust Christ for the first time, or you've come closer, or you're trying. Let us know. Text Genesis, or let us know in any way. Let's go to the second instruction, and it says, know that I am God. The first one is be still. We all need to be still. And then there's a second instruction here, a second command. It's know that I am God. Know that I am God. Know, what does that mean? Is that intellectual? Well, I will just say this. Know is not less than understanding intellectually. It's not less than that, but it's way, way, way more than that. So knowing isn't just intellectual, although there is some knowing and understanding, but it's more than that. It's intimately knowing God. It's experientially knowing God. It's trusting Him relationally. It's trusting Him relationally. It means this, it's knowledge becoming real through experience. Some of us, we have a lot of knowledge about God. We can quote Scripture. We know right where Isaiah is at. But it's not been real in our lives. And so he says this. He says, know that I am God. Know that I am God. Anybody remember this picture? Let me show you a picture of a movie from a long time ago that you might remember. Maybe you've seen, and probably our younger people don't know this one. Can you put that picture up there? Right there. Do you know who that person is? Share it with somebody that you're with. Anybody here that's with me? That is Mr. Miyagi and Danielson. And if you ever saw, I know there was a newer remake, and it was actually pretty funny. I like the newer one too, but this one is classic to me, Mr. Miyagi. And Mr. Miyagi is trying to teach Danielson. You know, he says wax on and wax off and all that kind of stuff. But what he ultimately is trying to do is he's trying to get Danielson to not just mentally understand the moves, but to in his heart believe it. To live it with passion, to execute it with vibrancy. And this just is exactly what faith needs to be in this time and beyond this time for you and for me. This is what it was for Hezekiah. Hezekiah, he says, the Lord is our refuge. What was he saying? He's saying, the Lord is a safe place to go. When the Assyrian army, 185,000 troops are out there, the Lord is a safe place to go. Wow. What is he saying? He says, the Lord is our strength. That was verse 1 again. The Lord is our strength. You can take that picture off. The Lord is our strength. He's saying, the Lord is my power. He is my source. He is my wisdom. And he says, and an ever-present help in trouble. What is that? He is always present. He never leaves. God never practices social distancing from us. He's always there. He's with us. Look what another king wrote. This was a guy named Solomon. He wrote this in Proverbs 18:10. God led him. But we'll put that scripture up there. It says, the name of the Lord is a fortified tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. The name of the Lord is a fortified tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. Once you have trusted the Lord, then you must try that faith out. Once you trust Him, you gotta work it. You gotta try it out. Can you imagine buying a Ferrari and keeping it caged up in your garage? Can you imagine that? Man, if you had a Ferrari, you'd want to run through those gears, man. You'd want to take it out and see what it's got. And show a few people. Hey, look what I'm driving. Ferrari, Testarossa. You got to take it out of the garage. You got to make it real. You got to experience it. You got to go all in. You just can't pretend anymore. You just can't be superficial and shallow about it. Knowing has to be driven down into our souls. It just doesn't happen miraculously. It just doesn't happen by osmosis. You got to work it, and you got to practice it. You got to practice. You got to practice knowing God. Just like if anybody here is married, anybody listening in married, anybody listening in that has teenage kids, anybody listening in that has other people that are difficult to deal with, that you love, go ahead, raise your hand at home. It's okay. Anybody have that? Yeah, we all have that. And so what do? You work at it. You work in your marriage. I'm working on my marriage. I'm working on dealing, I don't want to say it that way. I'm working at understanding and having mercy for my kids and other people that are younger than me on the staff, trying to understand. And in the same way, you got to work it with God. And that's what the spiritual disciplines are. That's how you practice to make perfect. And I'm going to give you some examples. And Pastor Scott's going to put out some resources that you can grab. And there's links and you can go there. But one is prayer. One is prayer. One, practice. And I don't feel like praying. I get it because I don't. But man, I tell you, when I do, God does something in me. And you've got to pray. And so we've got some resources. Again, Bible reading. Where do I start? Well, we've got a document. Where do you start? There's some suggestions there. Nothing, David Wilson said, nothing is more important than hearing and obeying the Word of God. That's how you practice knowing God, is by hearing His Word and by doing it. And then solitude. Times of solitude. Times of, you know, just quietness, hearing God, like we've been talking about earlier. So Hezekiah, he presented these thoughts for us. He presented, be still and know that I am God. And it gave him peace in the midst of some really difficult times. It brought him through that time. Isaiah 37, we won't go there, but it's on in the Journey Bible. If you want to look it up, it's on 9:16 for later. The Bible reveals what happened. Remember, Sennacherib did not write it in his annals. He wrote, we besieged Jerusalem, and didn't write anything else. Well, the Bible says what happened is that 185,000 troops were taken down. A great deliverance. An incredible deliverance. Now, Herodias, he was a Greek historian. A couple hundred years later, he wrote about it. And he wrote that what he surmised, that the Assyrians were overrun with a mice and rat kind of plague, and theorized that this was illusionary to a bubonic plague. Whatever it was, it doesn't matter. God can take care of you. He has the power. He has the mighty right arm. He can take care of anything. When you give it to God, you have His almighty power at hand. Now, my friends, as you deepen your faith, and as you trust more, as you be still and know that I am God, and as He gives you peace and strength, I just want to say this. It's not just for you. God is not doing that just for you. He's doing that so that you will love and serve others. I like how Hezekiah says it. He says, our refuge and strength. He's not saying mine. He's saying our. He was leading His people. And He is not going to give you peace for the sake of you being satisfied by yourself. He's giving you peace so that you can do for others, so that you can serve and love others. Johnny's going to come up here right now, and Johnny is going to talk about, as we get strengthened, what we can do, what we need to be doing as a church to respond to this crisis. Johnny, right. Thank you.
Yeah. I think Norm said it best this week. We were talking, and he said, the church is officially decentralized. Like, the church has left the building now. And so, you know, this week, I think I'm grateful for the fact that, like, as a church, as Genesis Church here in Petoskey, we've never been about our building. We've never been about coming here on Sunday mornings just for Sunday mornings. We've always been committed to loving other people and being the hands and feet of Jesus no matter where we are. If it's in a classroom, we're being Jesus to the people in a classroom. If it's in the football bleachers, we're being Jesus in the football bleachers. If it's on a play date with friends, we're being the hands and feet of Jesus. And so, really, yeah, church looks a little bit different right now, Norm. And it's a little bit different than what it's been in the past. But I want people to look around this week and go, who let the church out? Like, who are these people, and how are they moving so confidently in our community for Jesus Christ? That's what I want us to be about. And really, we have the same values. We still have the same vision to know Christ and make Him known. We're still open-handed. And I think in this time right now, we have a lot of things that are kind of being taken out of our open hand. Like, schools are closed. And yeah, shifts at work are changing. And yeah, we can't get into the church building anymore like we used to. But I want us to be aware that as we live open-handedly, just as blessings come, blessings are going to be put into, as blessings go, blessings also come. So be on the lookout for those blessings. Maybe it's time with your family. Maybe it's getting to know your neighbors better, but be open-handed with your time. Believe it or not, as a church, we are still better together. I have opened up the Bible and read with teenagers just as much this week as any week before. And why? Because we've got Facebook, we've got FaceTime, we've got Zoom, we've got Google Hangout. You know, my generation and the generation after me, we've been on this for a while. I can be in the same room as my best friend. We're both staring at our phones. Doesn't look like anything's going on, but we're having the time of our lives interacting with each other. And hey, some people just got to catch up with that right now. You can still reach out. You can still be in community. Dane, his community group still met this week over Zoom. And so if you want to be a part of a Christian community, maybe right now you're realizing that when other communities spread apart and fail to meet, Christians are committed to meeting together. Maybe you want to be part of a community like that for the first time ever. I encourage you, reach out to us. We want to plug you in. Text 231-412-2866, and we will get you plugged into a group, and we will get you interacting with people again. If you're socially distant or isolated right now, you don't have to be. You can be spiritually among your brothers and sisters. I believe as a church, we still need to bring our best, bring excellence to everything that we're doing. And how many of you know that when you bring your best in a season like this, it actually goes further and you actually do better? I remember my parents' reactions in 2001 to 9/11. I remember in 2008 when pink slips and green slips were getting sent home, but maybe people wouldn't have jobs anymore. I remember how the people in my life reacted. And I think in the season, it's easy to take your hands off of the wheel and say, you know what, I don't know what's going on. I'm going to take a step back. I encourage you as a church, we need to step forward into this season because the world is watching us. I don't care if my living room has suddenly become my office. I still want to bring my best to that living room. I don't care if, you know, I've been like overcharged with family because, you know, I've been around them for 24 hours, 7 days in a row. You know what? I still want to be intentional with that time. I want to lean in and bring my best to seasons like this because it matters and the world is watching us. I think we can also still keep it real. I think Kristen Terry, a local counselor who goes to Genesis Church, she said it best in an interview with you this week, Norm. She said, in this season, we need to ask people, how are you doing? And listen to their answers. There's no better season to do that than now. Because in seasons like this, when things are up in the air and life is getting crazy, people want real answers. And I still believe that God provides those. And I still believe that the Bible and Christians have those answers. God is still good. He is still here with us. This is all according to his plan. He's in charge. He's still in charge. And we can share that with the world around us. We can keep it real. We can be honest. And we can share hope in our lives with those around us. And last but not least, we can still be outward focused. Now, for this one, I think what I want you to do is if you're watching this at home, take a look to your right, take a look to your left. Those are the people that God has put in your life for this season. These are the people that you are to serve. And it's probably your family. That's probably close friends. Be with them. Love them well. But then go beyond that as well. For me, that means that every person in my apartment has my number and knows that I'm healthy, I'm young, and if they need something, I can get it for them. Go to your neighbors. Go to people that you know in your life that are lonely, that are isolated. Ask them how they're doing. Speak into their lives. Bring those who are far away close. We live in a time where we have the technology to do it. We should be doing that. And Christians, we need to know Christ and make him known. So, in this season, I want you to take a step of faith, take a step forward, and follow these directions. We're going to put a slide on the screen with things that you can do. And I want you to text Genesis what you plan to do right now. So, maybe you desire to go deeper with God. If you do, text Genesis, I desire to go deeper with God by doing this, and you can fill in the blank. Maybe it's a daily devotional. Maybe it's for the first time ever getting plugged into a small group. Maybe it's committing to read scripture.
Put the slide up, please.
And or
next step.
The next step slide. Or you want to love and serve people around you. Maybe it's knocking on neighbors' doors, keeping your distance, but knocking on their doors, saying, hey, I have a phone number. You can call it if you need a prescription, if you need groceries, if you need toilet paper, you can borrow some of mine, stuff like that. And maybe you're somebody right now that you're in over your head, and we totally understand that. So if you need prayer, text Genesis 231-412-2866, and we will be committed to praying for you in this season, no matter what. So, Norm, these are some steps that you can take. These are some things that you can do. Will you close us in prayer?
Dear God, we come before you and we unite our hearts in prayer. We need you, Lord. Like Dane sang, we need you, oh, we need you. And I pray, God, that you will give us all a sense of that. That help with what we need, that sense of your presence right now. Lord, we've got some more songs that at the end here that we're going to have, Lord, and I pray that right now that as we grapple with what we've heard and opportunities and ways to move forward, I pray, God, that you will spark each of our hearts to make a commitment, to take a step, a next step to take, Lord. That we won't just let this go in and out one ear, Lord, but it will move us to make some kind of commitment to you in this time. As the band plays, Lord, open our hearts up to what you're saying to each of us. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, amen.